You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
AWS misconfigurations leak data, so pay attention to your access control lists. Wells Fargo data is leaked in the course of e-discovery. We've got more NotPetya fallout and investigation. ISIS is still active in cyberspace, but its online presence begins to fray. Fruitfly has been buzzing through Macs quietly for a decade. Other dark web markets are poised to take the place of Alphabay and Hansa Market. And Ocean's 11 meet the IoT. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, July 24th, 2017. We've heard a lot recently about misconfigured Amazon Web Services S3 data buckets and the sensitive data found exposed in them. Configuration, as Amazon points out, is the customer's responsibility and not Amazon's. After all, it's up to the customer to decide what they want to protect and what they want to share, and with whom they want to share it. And Amazon has a point. Access control lists govern who can see the contents of an S3 bucket, and users of Amazon Web Services should look at their buckets to ensure that public read access is enabled only where it's supposed to be. Of course, where there's data, there's risks, and some of those risks are more earthbound than any cloud. Witness Wells Fargo's misfortune. The bank learned this past week that outside counsel it had retained mistakenly shipped CDs in the course of discovery to an attorney representing a former Wells Fargo employee suing another employee for defamation. The CDs contained personal and financial information on about 50,000 high net worth customers. The mistake must be particularly galling, given that Wells Fargo is not even a party to the lawsuit. This may not only be a third-party breach, but at least a fourth-party breach as well. The outside counsel, which the New York Times identified as Bressler, Amory & Ross, says it used an outside vendor in the course of e-discovery. Bressler, Amory & Ross have asked that the data be returned. The plaintiff who received them said it's fortunate he's a good guy. A less scrupulous person would have spread the info all over the internet. Companies affected by NotPetya are still working on recovery and damage assessment. Maersk and other victims emphasize one point. Customer data do not appear to have been compromised in the attacks. WannaCry and NotPetya continue to look like state-sponsored works of disruption. We heard from security firm FireEye, who's working with the Ukrainian National Police on the investigation. They note that the Sandworm team has a history of attacking Ukraine. FireEye says it has more technical evidence of connections between Sandworm and NotPetya. They also note that Sandworm has a history of destructive wiper attacks, which effectively the last round of NotPetya amounted to. Sandworm has also shown a predilection for hitting Ukrainian targets. FireEye points out that evidence of Russian government responsibility is, given the sort of information available, inevitably circumstantial. As they conclude, however, quote, "We can't be 100% sure that it's a state-sponsored group, but there are many strong signs that point toward this." End quote. Both WannaCry and NotPetya propagated rapidly. Comparable spreader technology is appearing in other strains as well. Fidelis has been tracking spreader functionality as it's been added to the widely used Emotet loader, so we haven't seen the last of such rapidly metastasizing attacks. The Islamic State's recent setbacks on the ground have cost ISIS territory and much of its pretension to being a government, even as Interpol circulates a list of 173 suspected members of the Caliphate suicide units. ISIS has maintained its Russian-language propaganda service, but other operations in cyberspace are showing signs of strain. Malwarebytes and Sanak are tracking Mac malware that's quietly infested the Mac ecosystem for years, going largely undetected. Fruitfly, as it's called, is regarded as both primitive and mysterious. Its infection mechanism and purpose both remain unclear. In industry news, healthcare cybersecurity startup Protenus has received an additional $3 million in funding, bringing its Series A total to $7 million. Niotron, which offers a threat-agnostic defensive solution designed to be effective against unknown threats, has raised $21 million in its recent funding round. Authorities are expected to continue to look for more participants in dark web contraband markets. Demand will in all likelihood shift elsewhere now that Alphabay and Hansa Market have been taken down. Alphabay was successor to Silk Road as the black market leader, and Hansa Market was called, until its takedown last week, the world's most secure darknet marketplace. There are other dark web markets out there. We heard about some of them from Patrick Martin, a cybersecurity analyst at Repnite, a firm specializing in the dark web. Martin points out that these markets aren't all about drugs and guns. They're also a marketplace for stolen data and corporate intellectual property. He said, quote, "The shutdown of Alphabay and Hansa is certainly great news, but when you consider that 80% of the internet is made up of the deep and dark web, you realize that these two sites are only the tip of the iceberg," end quote. Some of the other big markets that are still in operation include Dream Market, Valhalla, and Wall Street Market. Martin says they're already seeing criminals who supplied wares to Alphabay and Hansa Market shift their operations over to these. So it's a good idea to keep an eye out for the possibility of your data being traded on the dark web. But that said, it's not a good idea to do so yourself. As Martin puts it, quote, "The dark web is definitely not safe surfing. Signing up to dark web sites yourself is really not a good idea, not only because of the disturbing nature of other things you'll come across, but also the risk of getting fished by cybercriminals or a knock on the door from the police," end quote. So look to the experts and get some help. Finally, in what sounds like a high-concept caper movie, crooks found their way into a casino and exfiltrated data to a command and control server in Finland. The casino is somewhere in North America, but that's all investigators are saying. But here's where the high concept gets high, cats. The hackers got in through the IoT, specifically through a smart fish tank on display in the casino. Security firm Darktrace, which investigated, says that the hoods exploited a recently introduced device and used their access to bypass the casino's other, normally formidable, defenses. The kind of fish in the tank are unknown, but they were probably just innocent bystanders. Danny Ocean, call your office and bring the Rat Pack with you.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
Joining me once again is Rick Howard. He's the Chief Security Officer at Palo Alto Networks, and he also heads up Unit 42, which is their threat intel team. Rick, you've got an interesting announcement here, a pretty broad announcement about Palo Alto has developed an application framework. Give us the details here. What's going on?
Well, you know, you and I have talked about how many vendors there are in the cybersecurity space. When I went to RSA this year, okay, there were over 650 of them, you know, trying to display their wares. I know because I talked to a lot of them. And every one of them, you know, has the very best idea that's going to save the internet. If I would just take their product, I would be secure forever.
That's right.
Even if I found one that I liked and it did save the internet, I still have to deploy it and manage it, and it's just really hard and very expensive. And I call that the security vendor mambo, the dance that all network defenders must do to install a product. And what the vendors don't tell you, though, is that their product alone won't be enough. All right. In order to completely cover the attack lifecycle, network defenders like me, we have to do the same security vendor mambo dance with several products, okay? And I've been out talking to lots of people. Small organizations have at least 20 different tools, security tools, that they've deployed. Medium-sized companies, they've deployed at least 50. And large organizations like the big financials, they have over 200 tools deployed just for security. What this tells me is that the security product consumption model is broken. Network defenders like me consume those products is too hard to do. And so it's ripe for disruption. And the organizations that could get this done are the firewall vendors. You know, we're a firewall vendor, but there are others. And if you just consider what a firewall does, okay, the firewall is the one security tool that every network defender has deployed. They have other things, but everybody has a firewall. Mm-hmm. They're very complex systems and they do many tasks. But if you reduce the idea of a firewall to its basic functions, it really does three things. First is a way to collect intelligence and telemetry on internet traffic coming in and leaving your organization. That's one. Second, it is a processing engine that looks at the intelligence and telemetry to determine malicious behavior. And finally, it is an enforcement point that network defenders can use to either automatically block malicious behavior or manually block that behavior once a human has looked at it. So what firewall vendors have done in the last couple of years is they've moved the data collection and processing functions out to the cloud, right? There are lots of reasons for this, but mainly for all intents and purposes, vendors have infinite storage capacity and processing power in the cloud, where the deployed firewall does not. You know, it's kind of a finite thing. So, and if a vendor wants to add a new service to the firewall, say like an anti-APT or maybe an intelligence analytical service, vendors build that as an application in the cloud and not as a new hardware service for the deployed physical platform. So the vendor collects the data in the cloud, the new anti-APT service runs its algorithms on the cloud data, and then sends blocking decisions back down to the infrastructure to its customer. So that's kind of where the industry has gone the last couple of years. Hmm. If you take that evolution and think about what could happen next, the consumption model for security products could get flipped on its head, right? This disruptive logical next step is for firewall vendors to allow those other 650 tools to use the same infrastructure that is already deployed for the firewall. Instead of network defenders doing the security vendor mambo for 20 or 50 or 200 tools, firewall vendors will allow those same security tools to run as applications on top of the data cloud and use the deployed physical firewall as the enforcement point. So consuming a new security product will become as easy as it is to download the next Angry Birds game to your iPhone. Okay, that's what we're going for here, right? So network defenders will go to the security app store, download the cool new security tool they saw at RSA in the last conference, turn it on, and then the security vendor mambo, that dance we always have to do now, will be replaced by an on-off switch. That's where we're going. We call it the application framework. That is a fantastic name. I know it's really sexy. Okay, but I expect all the firewall vendors will offer something similar in the very near future. All right, so the bottom line to all this application framework is a completely disruptive idea and is the next logical extension of automatic orchestration, vendors making it easier to deploy security tools.
All right, Rick Howard, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.